This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Shanning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday the 17th of September. And happy Malaysia Day, guys. So that was yesterday.
Belated Malaysia Day. Every day should be Malaysia Day.
It's true, it should. But what did you do on that lovely third public holiday of the month that we've had?
It's unfortunately the last one, guys.
So sad, right?
The next public holiday is Deepavali, so we have to wait a bit.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for checking it out for us, Shaunik.
As you know, I love my public holidays. Any excuse to stay at home.
Really, I was going to say that because you said, unfortunately, it's the third and last. And I was just like, no, it's the third and last. Finally, I can get back into my normal.
You're so weird.
Lin-Mark. Come on, everybody likes a day off.
Actually, the
Every once in a while, sure. But then it's also just like every week. And, you know, you kind of try to start to have to compress all of the things that you were going to do in that 5-day work week into a 4-day work week.
We should censor this like part that. Of the show. This is where we censor.
This is blasphemy, is it?
Yeah,
according to
absolutely, okay. absolutely. Definitely. But the haze was terrible, wasn't it? And, you know, it really spoiled the holiday for me. But I spent a lot of time actually repotting some of the plants and taking them indoors because I hear that NASA did that for the rockets or whatever for the astronauts that they shot up to the moon, and these plants have got air purifying powers, and that's what I did over the weekend.
Oh, so you wanted more oxygen in the house to counter
to purify.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You know, my
a natural air purifier.
Yeah, my wife was so crazy about it. She there was an app to check the air quality indoors as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
How does it work though? Because
there is an air purifier indoors as well. So we were constantly monitoring the air quality indoors as well.
Okay. So it connects to your air purifier and
I see. Exactly.
Okay. I thought there was some kind of air purifier function.
Yeah. I was like, wow. How does that work?
What about you, Wong Shanning? What did you do over your weekend?
I sneaked in a run on Sunday.
No, really?
Yes,
Outdoors.
Because it rained on Saturday, remember, guys? And the haze is slightly better in the morning. I know, it's still insane.
Actually, today, I was quite surprised that it was pretty bad this morning because we come to work at 5 o'clock, right? And this was the first morning in this whole month that I came to work and I could see the haze filming over the street lamps.
Some schools are closed in Selangor, guys, because it's so bad. I think the API reading must be above 200.
So it's equivalent to smoking 5 to 7 cigarettes a day. I mean, if you run outdoors, you have already smoked 5 cigarettes.
So
for that
please,
time.
As a non-smoker, I have my...
You still have your quota.
Yeah, I still have a lot of quota to go.
So please don't emulate Wong Shanning. I hope you are in your cars safely listening to us because we've got lots of fascinating things to bring to you this morning. What are we going to be talking about first?
Well, leavism. Have you heard of such a new word? It's the new buzzword today in work culture. And I have to confess, I'm so guilty of it because sometimes there really aren't enough hours in a day.
All right. And we also just celebrated the Malaysia Day and the Prime Minister has advised us to, at all costs, protect national unity.
All right. Now, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, we're going to be talking, though, about whether or not coffee is a job factor. But that's going to be happening after this song. Here's Princes of the Universe by Queen, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Breaking the Law by Judas Priest, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Julian and Shaunning. Now, if you don't need some kind of caffeine hit to get you started in the morning, well, you're not human. apparently, in a lot of places, coffee has caught on. Really, you've seen the rise of the coffee culture here, even in Malaysia. In some places in the US, particularly in Silicon Valley, fancy coffee has become almost a must-have office purchase. And when I say fancy coffee, I don't just mean a particularly premium brand of instant that you keep in the pantry. I'm talking about a barista working full-time in a coffee bar in your office to make you a fancy latte whenever you feel like you want one.
Well, when you're Google and you're making gazillions of dollars, I think it's fine if you have a barista, right? Why not?
Actually, a lot of the co-working spaces now have it as well. You can get that quite easily. You don't need to be like a billion-dollar unicorn. But, you know, this is the drug of choice, actually a legalized drug that everybody can get access to, in addition to the sugar, you know, all the candy that they stock up, the Silicon Valley companies stock up in the fridge as well.
Yes, it's true. I for me personally, I think this would definitely be a massive perk, because I am a little bit fussy when it comes to my coffee. Specifically, I don't want to drink coffee that burns my taste buds off. I do find that I always need like several cups, two or three, to start the day. And I can imagine if there was this, there was a coffee bar in the office, I would just be living off the coffee bar counter, basically.
I'm not a coffee snob. I will drink anything, guys. Anything. Whatever instance out there. I mean, this is like... I know Julian's giving me this look like, is she nuts or what?
It's horrible. Yeah. Some of the instants out there, I mean, you can't drink it without any...
You could clean the floor addition, with it, basically.
Any addition of sugar or flavouring.
No, that's the thing about me. I really, really dislike the three-in-one kind of stuff because I don't like sugar in my coffee. But honestly, any two-in-one, any instant, I'll drink it because my purpose is to stay awake. I need the caffeine. And after working so many years and working in so many offices, you just get used to all the different kinds of instants. There is really, some are better than others, but they all serve their purpose of keeping me awake. So
and you
I'm
won't
okay.
go out to pay for coffee, right?
No, I will not pay for coffee. Like, unless I'm meeting somebody, it's a social thing, or I feel really depressed. Otherwise, I would just suck up and drink that free office coffee.
Actually, I like the idea of making your own coffee, because for me, it's a ritual that I go through every morning when I wake up. And I spend that 5-10 minutes grinding the coffee and boiling the water and pouring it over a filter. It's a very nice ritual. And after that, you get out there and just sit and do nothing but sip your coffee. I think it's very useful for the work environment where you need to actually calm down a little bit in all that buzz and adrenaline flowing, right? That's not a bad thing, not a bad ritual to have.
Yeah, it's quite meditative, actually.
It is,
it's the
absolutely.
First thing, it's true. It's the first thing I do in the mornings as well, whether it's making a cup of coffee or making a cup of tea. It's just that little sojourn to the pantry, you know, to think of nothing while you make your drink. It just takes all of 5 minutes, but it does refresh you almost. But then would you, Julian, take up a course like some of the ones that Google offers its employees? Because Google actually offers barista courses to their employees who want to learn more about coffee.
Yeah, not to make those fancy latte art, because I don't take milk with my coffee.
You know, teddy bears for you.
Yeah, mine is just a blob of milk on
angels.
Top.
Angels. Right? I've seen all sorts. I give them full credit, you know, angels, cats.
It's amazing.
Owls.
The most impressive was a Pikachu, actually, that I had. That was very
what?
Cute.
No way.
Yeah, but it's also just a little bit of excitement, right, when you're served that cup of coffee.
Yeah, you're like, wow, so cute, you know, and then you're like, how do you do that? And then you just gulp it all down.
But for me, I can geek it out on coffee, like, you know, the ratio of water to beans and how much strength, how long do you filter the coffee? Not to do latte art. I think I'll skip that.
All right, well, do let us know whether you would consider good coffee an office perk. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be talking about a new thing called leavism. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was It's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. Now, sometimes it really does feel in your working life that there aren't enough hours in the day to get things done. And that's given rise to a new habit, it appears, of that for employees to take their precious days of annual leave actually in order to catch up on work. And this is something that's been given a new term. It's now called leavism. But it's something that I presume has actually been around for quite a while, right?
Forever, honestly. I think all employees are guilty of it. I am.
Well, I wouldn't say that the employees are guilty. You're forced to be in that situation, and that's the problem, right? Because corporations just eat up your time, which is supposed to be yours. And the Financial Times also puts a halo effect on it. But I think it's more sinister than that. The corporations are just giving you too much work.
Yeah, I think there is an element of obviously overwork to this, and work-life balance is clearly not a thing if you are forced to take an annual leave in order to finish your work. But sometimes this is something that employers don't even necessarily encourage, because this is a BBC article, and one of the employees happened to mention that he took his leave to actually clear work, and his manager was horrified and said, "Don't do that. You know, if you need help and you need to manage your workload, come to me." But this same employee doesn't learn, because he's done the exact same thing.
But
after that,
realistically, what would your boss do? I mean, how many bosses are going to say, "Oh, you poor thing, you overworked. Let me take some off you."
Just see, maybe you could redistribute or something, or you know, in some cases, if you have the bandwidth, see if you can get an intern.
Yeah, I think this is also the result of the Silicon Valley culture and ethos that's going on right now, because you're paid a lot in sweat equity, right? Sweat capital, not necessarily in cash. It's usually part cash, part shares of the company you work with. So essentially, you have become an entrepreneur, a business person. Mm-hmm. And it's different from an employer-employee relationship of the past, even though the leave taking for work still happened in the past, right? But today, I guess the employees are taking more on their shoulders to see an outcome for the company that they're working for.
That's even worse, you know, because this is based on the future promise of wealth, right?
Yeah.
That may not necessarily materialize.
Yeah, which may not materialize. So you're putting in all these extra hours of work for possibly even nothing. I think that's even sadder, Julian.
Yeah, but people want to do it. It's not that they don't want to do it. They want to do it because they think that they can become the next Uber or Google or Amazon, and that will enrich them, right? So it's basically using their sweat to pay for a dream. I don't know whether they love their jobs, and perhaps a lot of them do.
But if I ever start a business, I'm going to use that model.
Sweat equity.
Yeah.
So have you actually done this, Julian? Like, taken leave days in order to clear
your
workload?
Never.
Never.
It's sacred, right? It's sacred. Even today, I don't answer WhatsApps on weekends and work WhatsApp that is on weekends and on public holidays.
I wish I had your discipline. No, I can't. I'm going to confess. I work on my leave days.
Maybe I'm just lazier than you.
No, I think maybe I'm just more inefficient than you. Right? I take a long time to do my tasks, so I end up having no choice, doing it on weekends and on days off, or sometimes work is given to me, which is like immediately after the day off. And if you don't do it on your day off, when are you going to do it? It's impossible.
You know what? That old saying which I really love, no one wishes for another day in the office on their deathbeds, right?
That's true. I mean, when you on your deathbed, you're not going to say, I did such amazing work. Nobody says that.
So for me, I think I'm somewhere in between, because as we've discussed before, I find it very difficult to actually take leave and remove myself from work. But when I actually do take leave, that is like, okay, then by that point, I've decided that I'm really not going to work. So I don't do anything. I don't read the news. I don't, if at all possible, I don't answer WhatsApps. I don't look at my emails. And so I just have that cutoff point. So I can't imagine actually taking leave to do work, because I'm like, that would be such an awful, demoralizing way to spend a leave day, because you only get, what, 15 of them in the year?
Too few. Which is a factor that you hate, Lynn.
Well, my problem is I actually do my best work at home.
Mm.
And then I get confused, you know, whether it's a leave day or a work day because I'm at home. And then I suddenly plonk in front of the computer. And before I know it, I'm looking at my inbox. I'm writing stuff. I'm sending out stuff. And it's bad. I know I shouldn't. But I can't help myself in a way. Because my mind is like, I've got to clear A, B, C, D, you know. And if I don't do it, when I come back to the office, the A, B, C, D is going to stay there, guys.
I wonder if there's an app to try and lock you out of all your work-related emails on holidays.
There is another aspect to this, which is that if you rest during your rest, what is supposedly your rest days, you are actually making yourself better and more productive for work, right? If you read a book, for example, go out for a run, improving your health and improving your relationships, you're becoming an all-rounded person, which at the end of the day will benefit your employer.
So do let us know what you think about this. Would you take a leave day in order to catch up on work? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are coming up to the 6:30 news, and here to take you there is Jump by Van Halen, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Now, it is the day after Malaysia Day, and in his Malaysia Day address, our Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad stressed that Malaysians have to be conscious of protecting national unity. So he's asked us to preserve inter-ethnic harmony and not leave it just to the governments to do. But my first question upon reading some of the coverage of this Malaysia Day speech and listening to it was, what does protecting national unity actually mean? Because how do we define national unity?
I think there is a lot of rhetoric coming out of UMNO and PAS. In fact, they're supposedly going to make a pact, and whether this kind of racial rhetoric will come up more and more. But I guess within Pakatan Harapan itself, I mean, Bersatu itself is for Bumiputra rights, right? So that question that you asked, Lin, is a very important one. What exactly does this mean? Are they going to embark on policy that would dismantle this decades-old policy, which hasn't really worked for the country at all?
Yeah, well, UMNO and PAS, they already made the pact official, right, last weekend.
National Cooperation Charter, I think it's called.
Yeah, but if anything, you're right, Julian, because it does bring race and religion right to the forefront of Malaysian politics again. We would have thought with the last general elections, it's going to be more about nation building than anything else. But I don't know, it's like two steps forward and then one and a half steps back, it feels.
One and a half steps is a bit this kind
I'm
of...
I'm trying to be generous
half,
here.
Okay.
I'm trying to be generous here, actually.
Yeah, but then you know, race politics didn't just come back with the signing of the UMNO PAS Charter. We did see it coming back even from Pakatan Harapan during the first year of their administration. So it's something that is very hard to dislodge from Malaysian politics. And I think it is, you know, it is definitely worth emphasising that we need to come together as a nation. But what if we don't define what actually national unity means and protecting national unity, how then do we go about doing it? Because does protecting national unity mean, you know, taking up arms and fighting for something? Because that's generally not what we envisage. Is that what we envisage when we talk about protecting national unity? Or is it just having these conversations and just trying to, I guess, dissociate Malaysian politics from the influence of race and religion? How do you find that definition if our leadership isn't going to define it for us?
I mean, for me, it's like when it comes to National Day, or, you know, then they come out with all this like, oh, we are meant to be one race, one citizen.
Just for that one day.
Yeah. And then we go back, honestly, guys, we then go back to having the policies that we've always had. I cite two, education and economic policies. Education, remember matriculation not too long ago, still based on race rather than needs-based. And even with the economy, when it comes to things like subsidies, right, or even policies with regards to companies, It's not based on merit-based, neither is it based on need-based. So when it suits us, I guess sometimes we remind everybody that we are satu rakyat, you know, satu family, but then when it doesn't, then it's all forgotten again.
Do you know what we need, guys? We need a common enemy. And if you just take a look at the US, right, the US is a very good example of really how patriotism has pervaded the national conversation. And I guess the obvious answer to that is that they've been in wars. And obviously, we don't want Malaysia to be embroiled in a war. But I mean, we've had our own, I guess, mini versions of it, particularly waged over social media. I remember the food conversations always have an excellent ability to bring together Malaysians of all walks of life, because we all love Malaysian food, and whenever something like Singaporean food is better, or Singaporean food particularly comes up in conversation, everyone gets up in arms.
It's a very thin line between that and just using that as a distraction without addressing the actual problems, right? I mean, Xiaoning, added on top to your list is the recent Bumiputra policy, which doesn't even make economic sense, because most of the products that are imported into this country, maybe 99%, would be non-Bumiputra. So how can you bring the economy to a standstill? But I guess on any other day, this advice would be good advice. You would not dispute this advice. But because we are looking at this through our cynical lens, we are questioning this kind of statements a little bit more, which is good. But don't you guys think that, you know, since the general elections, the previous one, there has been some like improvements, like slowly edging towards some kind of systemic and institutional change, which is very hard to do overnight, right? The usual rhetoric again is Rome wasn't built in a day. So what do you guys think about that?
I think the fact that we can sit here and have this discussion about national unity and see the flaws within the policy in itself is an improvement. It's just that whether we can continue to have it, and it will be something that, you know, sometimes the problem about national unity is that they use it as an excuse. Okay, don't talk about it because sensitive, you know, sensitive.
Everything so you is sensitive. Self-censor.
Then you self-center and then you never move forward. So maybe this is all good, the fact that we are discussing it.
All right, well, do let us know what you think. And don't forget that today we have our very own Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, coming on The Breakfast Grill. That's after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned for that fascinating conversation. Right now, though, we have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at what's been said in the papers. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now, thank you for your messages on social media. We've had a few tweets and WhatsApps. Sheikh Mohammed Shire says, I have a manual espresso machine at home. He wakes up early to make a cup of make a latte. It's a morning ritual. Plus, he'll even bring small bags of small batch coffee beans from local roasters everywhere he travels. Because this was in response to a conversation we had about coffee and whether or not good coffee is now an off office perk. And I think it's true. I tend to identify very strongly with this morning ritual. Sounds like a very calming way to start your morning, Sharia.
Yeah, and I'm Ramli Syrup also tweeted in, and he's like me. He's not a coffee snob. He will drink local coffee or Nescafe as long as it's not with copious quantities of fancy frothy milk.
Okay.
I know everyone's like, oh my goodness, how can she drink that stuff? It's okay. It's not that bad, you know.
Okay.
It has its own unique taste.
Yeah, plus it's it helps you in avoiding Alzheimer, a lot of coffee, heart, cardiovascular diseases and so on. So coffee does have its health benefits as well. And Aswan Roy Omer tweeted in also asking, what do you mean by common enemy? So here's a chance to explain ourselves.
Yeah, so I was the one that said common enemy, like we need a common enemy in order to really unify.
Tongue-in-cheek, I think.
It was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, yeah. You know, obviously I'm not saying that we need to go to war. But
And to make up an enemy, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But for me, like, food is a good example of this, because food is something that everyone feels very strongly about. You know, we start every conversation almost with, what have you had lunch? Have you had dinner? What are you going to have for
lunch
or dinner?
That's how we end the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Planning for the next meal.
Yeah, and then it naturally follows with, oh, there's a good place I just had food at the other day. So food is a thing that really unifies us. And if we remember the fact that Netflix didn't include Malaysia in its Street Food Asia series was a big deal on social media because everyone felt very left out, and especially considering the fact that they included everyone else in the region except us.
And it's a big deal at BFM too.
Indeed it is, because we've got our very own Street Food Malaysia episode out today, out yesterday in fact. So it's already out on YouTube if you want to take a look, and that's in collaboration with Fisherman. And it's an excellent series, guys. You should go and check it out.
Another possibly excellent movie or series, intern Sabrina wrote in to say everyone should watch M for Malaysia. That documentary depicts what national unity can achieve. I've not seen it personally.
I've not seen it either, yeah. But I've heard really good things about it from some of my friends who've gone, and they came out, especially a few of them who...
No spoilers, please.
No, but a few of them who are reporters and covered and have been on the beat and covered a few elections, they came out and said, oh, I want to cover another by-election now. I want to have that further back. So I'm quite excited to go and see it when next I have the chance. But also let's take a look at some of the headlines this morning in the newspapers. We have quite a varied selection in the Malay papers this morning. The Sinar Harian has gone with the haze, 163 schools closed in Selangor and Putrajaya. The Metro has gone with Tekong Pulau Sepi, which is I'm actually not quite sure what that means exactly. I'll have to take a look at that in a bit. Utusan Malaysia has gone with oil subsidies stolen. So this is subsidies for cooking oil, which they said have some of which. How do you translate this?
How does one steal oil subsidies?
Because some of our oil is actually smuggled through the borders.
Ah, okay.
Precisely that.
Right,
so
right.
Unsavory characters buying subsidized oil in the one kilo packets, putting it into large oil drums and smuggling them out of the country. And this is an Utusan exclusive.
Well, okay, New Straits Times, critical situation for the haze. I think this is when, if you're a photographer, you don't need to have any skill. You just snap a picture and it'll be all blurry, right? And also in the business section, a 16 billion ringgit potential for the renewable energy sector.
Well, the Star has headlines on oil prices look set to soar and how that benefits our economy. It also has a very nice picture of Malaysia Day celebrations.
And we're going to be talking about oil in just a little while, so be sure to stay tuned. Right now, though, we are heading into the 7 o'clock news. And after that, the business end of the morning run. So here to take you there is Summer of 69 by Brian Adams, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.